Welcome back to Charles Schwab Field. We'll get some wooden bats and rubber hats coming
thank you.
Up.
Yeah, thank you. We have Sipple still to come. Don't forget about Sipple.
We have Sipple coming up.
Yeah. I just want to make sure that all of that hard work.
No.
I am going to give you a guarantee today in wooden bats and rubber hats. A guarantee.
Oh, no.
Settle down, Nick.
Well, for the moment, the Ashley Scoggin lawsuit against the University of Nebraska continues. The court filings have now been submitted by all parties, including the defendants. One of them would be former Nebraska basketball assistant Chuck Love, and the other would be the University of Nebraska themselves. And according to the report from the Lincoln Journal-Star from this morning, now Scoggin claims that Chuck Love made inappropriate advances, kind of groomed her. You know, she was working, you know, she's doing some side work in addition to playing basketball. He allegedly took her under his wing. The relationship became romantic. They started to have little trysts on road trips and things of that nature. Those are Cliff's Notes version of what she is accusing him of doing. He says in his deposition, never took special interest in Scoggin, nor used his position and influence to help groom her into a sexual relationship. Love denies inviting Scoggin to work out of his office, saying many players and coaches frequently came and went as part of his open-door policy that he had with several members of the team. He denied discussing inappropriate topics with her. And then there was another part of her testimony where she said there was a late night meeting in a parking lot at a Costco in Lincoln. And he acknowledges that, yes, they did have this meeting, but it was different in nature than what she alleges. According to Love's response, Scoggin was, quote, emotionally distraught and urgently insistent that she needed to see him immediately. So they agreed to meet at the parking lot, a place where she felt she could speak without being heard by others, in particular, other players on the team. The former assistant coach denied in his response the allegation that he kissed her or pursued her sexually. Scoggin claims in the lawsuit the two would meet in university facilities or his hotel room on the road as part of a sexual relationship. And then about the incident when they eventually got caught on the road trip at Penn State, remember there was supposedly a sting operation where she's already in his room.
And her teammates are involved.
There was a trainer involved, and they masqueraded as someone else.
As him, right, to get the key.
To get the key, masqueraded as him to get the key. They go to his room when he's not there, but she is, open the door, they find her, they confront her. That's how everything blows up, right? Well, the according to Love's court filing, Scoggin was in his hotel room during the road trip to Penn State, but indicated it was at the player's request to discuss a personal problem. Quote, according to the response, it was no secret that Scoggin was in Love's room as he was on the phone with his wife and son when she entered the room. The conversation was cut short when Love was then called to the lobby of the hotel by another player. When Love went to the lobby, Scoggin remained in the room, quote, fully clothed, watching television until other players who had obtained the room key entered and confronted her, according to court records. Later, the university had their own response because they're also a defendant in the lawsuit. The university claims that Scoggin did meet with then AD Trev Alberts and Keith Zimmer, executive AD who oversees life skills, when she returned from that road trip. At the time, Scoggin admitted, they say, to breaking university rules and policies, although the court document does not spell out which policies. After giving Scoggin an opportunity to provide further information, she, quote, communicated that she had nothing further to provide, according to NU's response. Zimmer and Williams, Amy Williams, head coach, then communicated to Scoggin that she would no longer be an active member of the team. So now all parties have weighed in, but the lawsuit continues. Sounds like at least for the moment they're gonna, you know, take the stand that or take the line of defense that they, both the university, had done nothing wrong. But then for Chuck Love to also claim this is interesting, you know, many have speculated that this may end up settling at some point so that further information doesn't come out. What's interesting is, at least in this story, there was no denial, because one of the things beyond just all of it, I mean, all of it is gross.
Yeah.
But one thing that really stood out to me as being very peculiar and just a gross breach of leadership was
the meeting.
Was the meeting.
Yes, the team meeting.
And there's nothing, at least in here, that denies that that meeting did not take place.
Yeah.
And for those who are not familiar, so the day after this relationship is officially discovered, the whole sting operation at the hotel, they hold a team meeting the next morning in which Scoggin claims that it was basically an inquisition where all the players and everybody in the room was allowed to just basically pepper her with questions and air their grievances, to which I found just completely inappropriate in terms of leadership.
Yeah.
Because something like this, if something as serious as a sexual, inappropriate sexual relationship is taking place, the only people that should be involved from that point forward are the parties responsible and the leadership of the team and the university.
Yeah.
The rest of the team, okay, we're handling this. The rest of you, get out.
Yeah.
We're handling this. We're going to take care of this when we get back to Lincoln and we get in front of the authorities. The rest of you, forget about it. But the fact that no one, at least to this point, has denied that that meeting didn't happen.
Yeah, to deal with the different levels of leadership there, a head coach involved.
To me, is just a breach of leadership, in my opinion.
Yeah, and that was one of the, like you said, outside of the everything of it all, that was the one part when this story came out a couple of months ago, whenever it was, that really stuck with me then and has continued to stick with me now. Just given that, like, that's not how these situations are supposed to operate. That and the sting operation. You know, and so for the players, in a way to, I don't want to say get away with everything, but just, yeah, like you said, it's not in here. And so I'm curious as to why. Or, as you said, it's just an acknowledgement in a way that it happened, I guess.
Yeah. So we'll see where that ends up. But for the moment, the lawsuit continues. But if this, I will still be surprised if this still ends up going to trial.
Yeah, yeah, me too.
Because if it does, then a lot more stuff comes out, and that's not a good look for anyone. And remember, Trev Alberts is, now he was named in the lawsuit, but he is no longer here.
Correct.
But if it did go to trial, he would have to come back for testimony.
Yeah, you're right.
Because he was the athletic director at the time, so that would not be off of the table.
By the way, putting a bow on our previous segment's conversation, that was about the Sixers, Knicks, and
yes,
we also talked about the Lakers, Nuggets. But the NBA has put out their last 2-minute report. Not great, John, for the referees here via the NBA. Ananobi should have been called for a defensive 3 seconds. Embiid should have been called for a foul on DiVincenzo. Brunson and Hart both were not called for fouls on Maxey, and they should have been. And they must have had a different angle, because they said that Nurse should have been granted a timeout. They say that Nick Nurse should have been granted a timeout. So a game that already had a lot of anger and frustration in terms of the ending, that puts a little more fuel.
Have they put out anything on the Lakers game?
Not that I have seen.
Okay.
This was just they also found that Brunson did pull on Maxey's jersey, and it should have been called.
Yes. Well, that one was.
And Maxey's push off on Hart was marginal and should not have been called. But again, that there should have been a timeout.
All right. Well, that's just going to add more
fuel to the fire.
Fuel to the fire there for the angry Philadelphia 76ers, but you know, at the end of the day, they would have called the timeout like they should have, maybe they wouldn't be in this mess in the first place.
Yeah. Amazing Daniel says, why is this always so difficult for institutions to handle this stuff right? It's all very clearly mapped out for them, and it is always blowing up in their face when they do it wrong. Yeah, I mean,
yeah,
hubris?
I don't know.
I'd kind of go with hubris, maybe?
Yeah. Well, it's such an unusual circumstance. Something like this just does not happen around here. But I guess the thing that is kind of concerning to me, I mean, if you want to really go down the conspiratorial rabbit hole, the fact that there was suspicion enough to create a sting operation, and nothing, there was no confrontation prior to that,
yeah,
is a bit concerning to me. Because if something is going on and it's pervasive enough,
that's that well known,
where it's that well known and enough people suspect it, it's just, okay, we got to catch them at some point, especially when it's involving a member of the leadership staff, you would want to get out in front of this and say, hey, there is stuff going on right here. Because coaches know everything that's happening in their program.
Mm-hmm.
They have enough people. There are trainers, there are managers, there are assistants who have their finger on the pulse of everything that is going on. Every little personnel issue that's happening amongst the rank and file is generally known. Very few things come as a huge shock in cases like this. If it's that well known and nothing was addressed prior to this, and it got to this point where it blew up in the fashion that it did, that also is a really hard look.
Yeah.
A really hard look. All right, when we continue, we will lighten things up.
Yes, we will.
Just a little bit. We've got wooden bats and rubber hats.
Look at me. I'm Gary Sheffield, John. Get it?
Yes, I understand that. Also.
I don't.
The rats departing from the good ship Prime are now commenting as they leave the ship.
Oh man, are the weird part of the Husker fan base going to get mad that we're making fun of Colorado again? Are they about to show, please, last year you talked trash and then Nebraska lost, please?
No.
You want to go after somebody, go after Nick for uploading YouTube videos with very good titles that are drawing the ire of Buff Nation.
You're welcome.
Nick basically uploaded a YouTube video that says, Colorado smells like baby farts, and the comment section has exploded.
Oh, I started a war.
Yeah, he definitely did.
Well, we know who to blame if Nebraska ends up losing.
It's Nick Grimm's fault, not ours.
The Swifties and the Colorado fan base is coming after
him. Yeah, who else will Nick anger?
Yeah, well, we've got 90 more minutes to figure out who he's going to anger. That's all coming up here on 1620 The Zone. Friends, you can be a lifesaver. You can also change lives by doing one simple thing, and that is checking off that organ and tissue donor box next time you renew your driver's license. GoodGuysSaveLives.com is where you can find out more about the benefits of organ and tissue donation. Do you know that one healthy donor can save as many as 8 lives through organ donation and help dozens more through tissue donation? That's right. For those cancer patients who have had to undergo reconstructive surgery because of their cancers, tissue donation from healthy donors has changed those lives. People involved in serious accidents who need bone grafts, again, tissue donors have changed lives. Also, those who have lost their sight and need donated corneas have changed lives. And it's so very simple, and it doesn't cost you or your family anything, and anybody can donate. It does not matter how old you are. It does not matter your current health condition. So please do the selfless thing, and next time you renew that driving, hunting, or fishing license, check off that organ and tissue donor box. Or if you're not up for a renewal anytime in the near future, find out more information at GoodGuysSaveLives.com. That's GoodGuysSaveLives.com.